We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Before we get started, Light Years is brought to you by Grammarly. Make sure your writing is on point with Grammarly Premium. Sign up at Grammarly.com/Light Years and get 20% off. That's Grammarly.com/lightyears for 20% off a premium subscription.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we are two games away from the playoffs. We just watched the Warriors play the Lakers. I got at least one text from a Lakers fan saying this was their favorite Laker game of the year because they actually played like they cared. So, you know, we could talk about that, but like, I don't know.
Cole got to relax. Okay, tell him to slow down.
Yeah, so obviously the Lakers didn't play AD, LeBron, Russ. Obviously, I said it in that order from best to worst. And, you know, their season's over, so it was like a meaningless game, and we're just kind of shining time, but whatever. You know, where are you at tonight?
That game was a classic Warriors first half. I just, you know, Draymond looks like he doesn't want to be out there, and they got 20 turnovers out there. They look like they were enjoying the beach all day, you know, 90 degrees in the afternoon, Sam. The Bay Area doesn't get much of that, so they look like they were enjoying the day, and then they kind of locked in. They kind of look like they did the last couple games, right, the last few weeks in the second half. So I think an encouraging basketball game for the Warriors. We're just so used to seeing them play down, right? Remember the last time the Lakers played the Warriors? Me and you were doing a green room after the game. You remember that?
That was borderline low point of the season. LeBron gets his, like, Saturday night show out against a, you know, disgusting Warriors team. By the way, shout out THT, 40 points. THT versus Jordan Poole, who is the better pick? The conversation is back. No, come on. No, this is, by the way, the Jordan Poole's 20-point streak is officially snapped, 19 tonight. Throw that out there, too.
You know what Fitz would say, though. You know what Steve Kerr's going to say in the postgame? One of his best games of the season. Great floor game. Great floor game. One of his best.
It was a great floor game. It was a great game. 11, Chris Paul Poole. Yeah. It's just a very efficient night. I mean, I feel like there's not too much to say about the game because let's be real. Like, you know, I don't know if this Lakers team is better than the Sacramento Kings. So.
A couple of things that I thought were a little interesting tonight. Jordan Poole played one of those games where it really felt like he's grown up, right? Like it really feels like he's going to be it really feels like he could be a leading man on a basketball team. This is what this game felt like. Because if Jordan Poole wanted to tonight, he could have dropped 30 points. He could have just shot it every time. We'll get to Klay Thompson in a second here. But yeah,
that's a good point. A less mature player would see tonight as a stat night, you know, and would have gone out gunning for 30 points. Jordan Poole, an accomplished man, a man who knows who he is, a man who, you know, drinks fine wines and double IPAs, was like, you know what? I'm going to get my guys going tonight because I'll get my stats against the good teams.
Right. It's what it felt like. And I think
I don't know if you and I ever talked about it, because I don't think you and I ever thought this was an issue. But Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson, I think, have formed this chemistry in the time that Steph has been out. And I think that they needed to, right? So my big concern the last 10 games of the season is that the Warriors need to find chemistry with their core guys and Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. And it feels like Jordan Poole and Klay Thompson have found it. And that is going to be one of the main reasons they win in the second round against, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies or Phoenix Suns, right? Like, obviously it's Steph coming back, but if you can get those two guys going with Steph, Sam, they might not have a top 10 defense or they might not have a top 3 defense anymore, but that offense might be the best.
Yeah. And I don't even want to, it's going to force some interesting decisions from Steve Kerr, but you mentioned the standings. So I want to put this out there. Just as a, you know, let's update our listeners real quick. The Warriors are currently in the 3 seed, Dallas in the 4 seed. It's looking like, you know, San Antonio and the New Orleans Pelicans, who the Warriors play this weekend, have nothing to play for. If they win or if they lose, they're not moving up or down in the standings. So I would expect both those teams to sit their guys
okay. In
those games. Which is to say, if the Warriors want the 3 seed, I think they're going to get it. I think officially the Warriors will be able to control their own destiny at this point. I'm not saying they couldn't beat those teams at full strength, but like legitimately the the Pelicans can lose 2 games and it's not going to affect their standings.
Okay.
It's officially standings jockeying season. Do we get a Dominic McGuire performance where he's running point? Trying to lose a game.
Wow, that's a deep cut. Wow.
It's an
incredible IPA that you just cracked open.
Wow. But what I'm getting at is, the season's about to end. They got 2 games. They officially control their own destiny at a very high level right now. I think we're going to find out if they think it matters. I think they're going to get I think they're going to probably go for it to try to get the 3 seed. But if they don't, if they feel like we want a different matchup, they could, we could see Quintero Weatherspoon get 40 shots.
We love that guy. We love that kid. We need to see him back on the court. I would like to see him play more basketball. I find this interesting because the Warriors are going, it's a back to back Saturday, Sunday. So let's say, for example, they win that game. The Mavs are going to win all 3 games. They're 18 point favorites tomorrow, by the way, the Mavs against the Blazers. The NBA silly season, end of the season, is a joke with the tanking teams. Always funny. But I'm going to say the Mavs win all the 2 next games, right? So if the Warriors want to control their fate, they got to win the next 2. But the second game is a second end of a back to back. So you would think that Klay, Draymond sits that game, maybe even Wiggins. So it's a Kuminga pool game. And so that makes it tougher. It's not like those main guys are going to play. So they could go for it, but also they can't, right? They're just not going to have their guys. So they, it's not really going for it, right? Just
that's true.
Those guys aren't going to play. So I find that interesting. Or do the Warriors just say, well, let's send everyone home and let's just get prepared to practice with Steph for the playoffs. So I don't know. I don't know what they do.
It's fascinating because I could make a case in either direction, and I genuinely do not feel strongly either way. Like, I've talked myself in circles. I've talked myself into the genius of falling to the 4 seed, so you're on the Sun side of the bracket. And I've also talked myself into the opposite, which is like, no, you don't stay on the map. Like, it doesn't feel like one is significantly better than the other. Like, that I've spent the last 2 weeks saying how they don't want to play Memphis because Memphis is physical, they're better on glass, all that sort of stuff. But like, the more I watch all this, the more I'm like, it's,
I don't know, Memphis,
they're gonna have to beat them both. You know, like, that's what it comes down to. There's no route in which they don't have to go through both of them. I'm not sure that it matters anymore.
Well, Samuel, I got a take that I've been waiting and brewing. I don't know about the Memphis Grizzlies.
Ooh.
I don't know about the Jaw's been out a long time. They just got their asses whooped by the Nuggets tonight. They might be running on fumes a little bit. I'm just saying. We'll get to the preview next week, but I wouldn't say that the Grizzlies are this unstoppable playoff team. They lost to the Jazz last year, first round. They might see the Jazz again.
That's true.
They won't.
Just to be clear, the Nuggets are currently the sixth seed, but you know, that's it might be it might change by the time you listen to this episode, listener. You know,
Anthony Edwards just had 50 tonight. You know, it might be a tough matchup. I don't know. Anyway, we'll get into it. I think I'm kind of selling on Memphis a little bit. So,
wow, you're selling on my Grizz.
They were my Grizz all season, but now I'm full-fledged. The Warriors look great. Back to the game tonight, they look great, right?
Full-fledged forever Warrior, Andy.
Andre Iguodala looks fantastic tonight. Even got up for a dunk, made a three to start the game.
I will say you're like at your absolute cockiest when Andre Iguodala is contributing. That's like what I know. That's what I know. Andy's like feeling this. It's like, you know, Andre's just too smart. They're too smart. You know, like that's your guy.
That's my guy. So I was watching the game with a buddy and he was telling me like, hey, is Andre going to play more? Is he going to play after the season? I'm just like, I don't think so. I think he's done after the season, but you're right. Like that's the guy. If I see that guy cooking, if that guy's filling himself, he had a dunk and then he slaps the backboard, he's making great passes. I'm just like, this team is unbeatable. He's the guy because right now they're closing with – I'm getting crazy. But like they're closing with Wiggins, but if they can get Andre out there, if he can close games, I don't think he will because I think it's too many minutes. But if they get him to close games, man, you get Draymond and Andre there with Steph, Poole, and Clay. I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but come on. That's your five, Sam. That's your five. That's your championship five. Andy Iguodala.
Andy Iguodala. That's true. I mean, I've known you a long time, and there's no player that like swings your emotions. Outside staff, like Steph's staff. But like when Iguodala is feeling it, that's when I know Andy's like, I'm in. Man. It's over. We're in. We're in.
He makes those threes, and we're happy. Oh man.
Should we get to the goons? I feel like this is a listener show. We should make this a listener show. I want to throw this out there before to the premium listeners. We are doing a watch party for the last game Sunday night. You guys got the emails. It's going to be a party. Here's what I'm envisioning. Do you remember back in the shitty Warrior days? The last home game of the season was just like giveaway, free tacos, free t-shirts, all that sort of stuff. We're doing that, you know? I don't even think – like, I don't know who on the Warriors is going to play in that game. I don't know who on the Pelicans is going to play in that game. We're just going to have a party. Appreciate everyone who subscribed all year. It's going to be about celebration. Get some free Warriors World merch there. It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a great time out. Sam, it's going to be a great time out.
It's a great time out.
We get to watch Poole, Kuminga. We get to watch all the – I mean, it's been a great season. The team is 51 wins with two games to go that they're going to be favored in. And we watched the core three guys play together for 7 minutes. Sam, like it's been an objectively amazing season.
11 minutes.
and how many times? And they didn't even play with Andre Iguodala. They didn't even play with Andre Iguodala. So 0 minutes. With Andre on the court and those the core four guys, so it's
we're about to cut up this tape, send it to Joe Lake, and be like, hey, you can replace Fitz for half the cost.
And Wiseman, and Mo Wiseman, come on, what a season! What a season!
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
To the goons. Batting leadoff.
There we go.
Hey, what's up, boys?
In honor of baseball opening day.
There you go. Ryan, what's up, bro?
Okay, first off, I'm also selling on the Grizzlies, especially with this Ja Morant thing. I think Paul George sends them home first round, and I'm going to be at games. So I'm rooting for that. I think Paul George
sends them home. Do you think it will happen, or are you speaking into existence because it's convenient for you?
No. I genuinely think the Clippers have the role guys, and now they got the two shot creators back in Norm Powell and Paul George, and now Reggie Jackson slots into that third shot creator role. I kind of like it. They're frisky, and Ty Lue's a great coach. And then they also have this Kawhi piece looming over everything. And it's just, I actually don't want the Clippers to win because he probably comes back second round, and then we might be stuck with Clippers, Kawhi, Paul George, and playing them in the second round. So scared of that. And then I have two questions. Rookie contract duos, are Poole and Kuminga top five? And then what's your favorite worst loss of the season? Mine is the Kiefer Skies game.
Ooh. First off, obviously, Ryan, appreciate you. Obviously, Poole and Kuminga, two best prospects in the NBA. Grand, Premier Lake Up once again with the win.
You say Premier Lake Up?
Yes. It's my guy, the chairman. What I was going to say, though, interesting. He brings up a good thing. Worst loss of the season. What loss did you get most infuriated? Because, like, we're in a good mood now. They're going to the playoffs. It is what it is. Like, Steph's coming back. We know they're probably going to have a little friskiness when Steph gets
looking back on it, I'd go Lakers, man. I'd go the Lakers game in honor of the Lakers.
That was my pick.
That's the one, dude. It's just you remember that Lakers team. They were losing. It's not like they were hot. Like, they were losing every single game. And then they play the Warriors that night. And the Warriors, Steph played that game. Klay played that game. And the Warriors, you just felt like the Warriors never had a chance to win that game. Just an absolute embarrassment. That's probably the funniest loss that they've had this season.
Yeah, okay, so just because you said the Laker game, I'm going to go with a different game, and I'm delaying my choice because I'm trying to refresh my memory on the worst loss of the season. And I think we have to go Orlando. I think we have to go a couple weeks ago against Orlando. You know, obviously Steph didn't play, but, like, just pissing away that Orlando game really annoyed me. Then no reason to lose it. You know, those are the ones.
They had a couple bad ones. There was, remember Denver at the buzzer. I mean, those were the games where it's like, you remember Steph was slumping. Like, those were the worst losses. And, like, Steph was slumping and the Warriors were, like, they scored 82 points against the Mavs. I'm just looking at the schedule. God, there were some just disgusting. And it felt like a lot of the losses were disgusting because the team was so good. Like, they were, you know, they were 25 games over 500, and it's just like every loss was just like, oh my God. And then they're going to end the season, you know, 20 plus games over. They're going to be 52-53 win team. Just what a season.
A friend of the show from Dominic Rangel, worst loss of the season was Draymond to clutch. That was two seasons
ago. Relax. Yeah, relax.
Relax, buddy. We're not reliving the 18-19 season. Oh no, this is terrible.
What do we have?
We got some goons. We got some goons coming
this is
in
peak,
tonight.
Peak goon right here, Primo.
Hey, what's how y'all doing?
Friend of the show, host of Temple of Hoop, Jason Maples. Maples, what's up, man?
What's going on? How y'all doing, man?
You know, our team's in the playoffs.
Why? Why you got to see? Come on. I came in peace with a serious basketball question. Come on, man.
Have you actually? I got to ask you a question. Do you reconsider everything with the Lakers after Talen Horton Tucker drops 40?
I came on here to be serious. Y'all trolling me, man.
You give him some space and he can hoop, man. You put him next to LeBron and AD, you know?
Before my Warriors question, I'll just say this. I'm not as high as THT like the rest of Laker Nation is, but I think the Lakers organization did him a disservice this year. I'll say that. They didn't invest in his development at all.
A measured take.
Right. So my Warriors question is, Sam, you've been pretty adamant all season about not buying the Phoenix hype. Like, that's actually kind of wild with what you say about Phoenix. And because of their front line, right? I just want to know, like, do you still love that matchup for the Warriors? You've been pretty confident all year.
Okay. That's fair. So I'm going to throw this out there. Okay. So the reason I love that matchup is because I don't think Ayton takes advantage of Draymond. An engaged Draymond can take Ayton out of the game, and then it turns into kind of whose perimeter guys are going to take over. And as a man of principle, I have to side with the Warriors on that one.
A man of principle.
Do you think I'm going to take Chris Paul over Steph? Come on, man. Like, I'm going to go down with the ship on that one.
You think he's taking Booker over Poole? No chance, man. No chance.
Cool. No, but my whole thing is, do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think Ayton has it in him to, I guess, just overwhelm Draymond when he's fully engaged in a way that, like, I keep wanting to say Giannis, and that's unfair. Because, like, there's a huge gap between, like...
But Ayton was one of the main reasons they made the NBA Finals last season. So what you're saying is, like, is that enough to go up against an engaged playoff?
All I'm saying is he spent the whole season doing flip shots and, like, kind of, like, he's good. I mean, he's great. I would love him on the Warriors. But I'm just watching
him. I would love Wiseman,
like,
to be him. Yeah, yeah.
I would take JaVale McGee right now, to be honest. Okay. But like my whole point is, does he render Draymond helpless to the point that you have to send a second body?
No.
I don't think he does that. And that is really what breaks the Warriors. Like, if someone is so physically dominant inside that you have to send a second player, they can't defend you. Like, because their whole defense is based off of Draymond.
I got you. So with that in mind, with what you just said in mind, do you at all have any – I'm not going to say fear because the Warriors are championship tested. Does possibly going against Joker in the first round, does that move you at all?
It would if they had their second and third best player. That's the problem with that team is they're just – it's so unfair. The problem with that team is Jokic is going to average 30.
I'm going to let him dance on Draymond. He can get 40 a night. You know,
like, yeah, but it's just like, you know, Monte Morris isn't going to kill you. Aaron Gordon's playing very well, but, like, I don't think they're too concerned about him. It just – it's tough for Nikola, even though he's the MVP, just because they don't have enough guns in that matchup.
I'll throw this out there. My bigger concern is Jokic round one. And if it's not Jokic, you know, Rudy Gobert, still physical. I'm just saying. Round two, you got to deal with Steven Adams, Jaren Jackson. Like, they're physical. And then you got Ayton. Like, the wear down effect worries me more than anything. I'm not worried about Draymond handling Ayton in, like, a one of one. I'm worried about him getting there and being kind of, like, hobbled and just, like, I got to guard him for 40 minutes because, like, the backup is Otto Porter type of thing.
Then you got to play Giannis in the NBA Finals. I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know how to get there yet.
It reminds me of – I was just talking – it reminds me of Andre in the 16 season where it just – he has to play so many minutes that his back just gave out. Like, that's the concern with someone like Draymond whose back literally gave out half the season. And he just – Draymond didn't look like himself tonight, which I guess you could have seen that coming against L.A. But that's a concern with him.
Don't say the quiet part out loud, man. But hey, I'm going to keep tapping. Y'all keep doing y'all thing. Man. I just wanted to ask those couple questions. I appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you, Maples.
He's always – Maples is happy even when the Lakers are you know, doing their thing. It's you gotta love that.
The agenda is not so deep.
Oh, no. It's back to back. Oh.
Listen, you know, Jason is polite. He's a big-time broadcaster now, so he can't, you know, he's got to hold back sometimes.
You're not.
I nobody has any expectations for me, so I can say whatever the hell I want.
Domin, what's up, man?
It was a good game, man. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Warriors fans and Lakers fans have this back and forth because, you know, when you see yourselves in each other, you know, it's all the same.
We're
like, you know, both of our front offices, and Lakers didn't trade for Lowry. You guys didn't trade for Siakam. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Both front offices gave up. No trade deadline moves. They're like, what the hell's the point? God. Season's over. Stubborn head coaches hanging on to the glory days. And our superstars are more focused on TV shows right now than playing basketball. So I mean, you tell me, man. You tell me.
Plus the teams are dominated by stars drafted late in the 2019 draft, right? Am I right? Be honest with me. Was this the most fun you've had watching a Laker game all year?
Yeah, it's near up there because like I stopped tweeting about Russell Westbrook because there's like no point at this point. But, like, even Anthony Davis, man, I'm so done with these guys right now that watching them tonight was way more fun because to talk about the front office, our starting lineup to start this year was DeAndre Jordan, Avery Bradley, who you guys cut. Like, literally, you cut him, and then we signed him, like, the next day, and he was our starter. And everybody to start the year was like, listen, guys. Like, this was no bullshit. This was everybody saying it. Listen, don't judge the team until Trevor Ariza gets back. Like, dude, I mean, this is how the season started, and it only got worse after that. So yeah, man, I'm so done with this team. But it's funny though that they played all the young guys that we've been kind of clamoring for. These G League guys and all that, and they look better than they have all season. That's just the way the season's gone.
Question for you, Domin. Kendrick Nunn gonna be playing next season? You gonna be healthy?
Dude, that's the weirdest thing, man. You know, if I was
who gets healthy? Who gets healthy first, Kendrick Nunn or Puig Jim? Sorry.
Yeah. Hey, we're talking about equivalent players, so I understand why you.
All right. Both left-handed.
There we go. Tying Andy coming with the piece. Lefties.
Both left-handed. Oh man.
We'll let Domin go on that note. I gotta be mean on that one. We gotta push this forward. We got a lot of callers on the line. We got Jake coming through. Jake, what's up, my man?
What's up, guys? I got two questions for you. First question, what does your gut tell you Kerr will roll out with the starting lineup when Steph gets back, either small ball or keep the traditional and move either Poole or Wiggins to the bench? And then second question, if you can only see one of them in the playoffs, would you rather see the Suns for the matchup or the Grizzlies just because of all the kind of the shit talk that's gone on? And I feel like it would be super satisfying to go through them.
Ooh, that's a great question. Okay. I think Kerr is going to roll out the small ball lineup.
I think so too. You think so too?
I think he will. I think politically, it's just, I mean, which of those guys do you want to, like, sour to the bench?
No, I don't think he does it. And, you know, I think he's been hinting at it. Sam, I think he's been saying it's going to be, you know, yeah, and through these pressers where he said, like, we're going to have to kind of adjust the lineups. He's already benched Looney a couple times, right, in the past couple weeks, albeit for Kuminga. But he's already done it. I think Utah and Denver, they don't have Jaren Jackson at the four where you're like, well, Wiggins is cooked. Like, Wiggins is going to be cooked here, and it's not Wiggins' fault.
They're not coming through with Zach Randolph and Marcus Saul where, like, we're going to play a little bigger. Yeah.
Right. So I'm with you.
I also think it's easier for him to start with that, and if you get overwhelmed, be like, well, I got to move one of you to the bench for the matchup, you know, then the alternative, which is, like, bench them and make them kind of feel shitty. You know, start your best players, adjust mid-series if you have to.
Yeah. Just backwards from what he's done before, because he's big and then small. And really, we always used to complain that he took too long to adjust. And now I agree with you. I think he's going small first, and I think it's the right move.
Yeah. And then I'm gonna adjust Jake's question, but, like, who would you rather the Warriors beat? Who would make you feel better, the Suns or the Grizzlies?
Oh my God. I mean, beating Chris Paul is like a tradition like no other. Like, it is just Warriors, just a staple, just Steph, Cook, and CP3. But I think I agree with Jake, and I think I agree with most Warriors fans, right? It's gotta be Memphis. They're the young kid on the block, just talking too much. I know I like them too, but I think they need a little humble pie.
I feel the opposite.
Wow.
I'm willing to lose to Memphis if it means the Warriors eliminate Phoenix. I cannot have Chris Paul being the Warriors. It's a principle thing. You know, it's like, if the young guys are going to beat the Warriors, so be it. I can't have the old man who you've been in a fight with, like, getting one over on you.
Oh.
That's just, you know, I do see your perspective on this one. But personally, I need to clear. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I'm sorry.
I can't do it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So sometimes, man, gotta draw a line.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time: the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
By the way, somebody tweeted that CJ McCollum was a better trade than the Harden trade, and I'm sitting here like, shit. They have a point.
I mean, CJ is still in shape, so yeah, I agree.
Good for CJ. Good for CJ.
Dude, Philly went from top five watch to bottom five watch.
Yeah, they did.
And it's just, you know, my guy Joel deserves better. You know, he can move to the Bay, but
him and Steph are best buddies. Yeah, you're right.
He's a great player. He plays the game the right way. A little floppy, a little more floppy than I'd want. But, you know, in general, I'm a Joel Embiid guy. I'm gonna get to our next caller real quick.
Bull, bull.
You're working?
There we go.
Yeah, we're good. What's up, man?
What's up? All right, so how have we gone this long without giving a moment of silence for Bazemore? Gary giving him the most disrespectful too small. Man, I mean, I think it's just hilarious that Bazemore, you know, came back. It seemed like a good reunion with his boy, Steph Curry. And then at the end of the season, he said he's looking for a long-term, you know, like a home, somewhere he'd call home. then signs with the Lakers, doesn't get played any minutes, and he signs a 1-year contract. That's tough. Anyways, I think I actually prefer the Suns over the Grizzlies just based on their second unit. Based on the Grizzlies' second unit, it just seems more dangerous than the Suns. The Grizzlies have, like, you know, Melton, Brandon Clark, Tyus Jones, Slo-Mo, versus the Suns. Cam Johnson's solid, but Shamit, Cameron Payne, JaVale.
That's not bad.
Yes.
I do agree with you there. It's an interesting thing because, like, some people will tell you the reason they don't buy Memphis is a lot of Memphis's winning things or regular season things. Like, depth doesn't play as much in the playoffs. Like everyone's playing 40 minutes. You know, like that depth doesn't matter as much in the playoffs. Yeah. But I don't know that I buy it because I think over a best of seven, they kind of wear you down a little bit.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you on – I just want to see the Warriors and Phoenix go at it. Like, I think it'll – I think it's favorable for the Warriors,
yeah,
the big picture.
And but, the other thing I was going to ask, the question I have is with – I agree with that with – I prefer the Suns just because I was watching the Grizzlies-Jazz game the other day, and Triple J was – making some big time shots, bringing Gobert out to the three, and stuff. He seems more of a threat than going against Ayton. You know what he's going to do. Like you said, the flip shots, and then McGee's coming off the bench. He's not shooting threes. Is there like past games on how Draymond fares against Triple J? What do you guys expect for that kind of matchup?
Yeah, no, Bull. I appreciate the call. I actually think – I don't know how Andy feels, but, like, I think the reason I think Memphis is a worse matchup is because their front court is more difficult for the Warriors. They have more, like – they can go small. They can go big. Jaren Jackson mixes it up a little bit, whereas, like, Jay Crowder's solid, but, like, I just don't think Phoenix has as much versatility there.
Memphis has the size where they can theoretically beat up the Warriors like the 2016 OKC Thunder. That's the point I keep reiterating that I think could be possible. The difference is OKC had, you know, a top 10 player of all time on that team, and Memphis, you know, Memphis might not have, you know, the best player in a series against the Mavericks, right? Like I could see Luka taking them out. So, like, that's a difference. But in terms of athleticism, physicality, and just depth of the team, like, yeah, they're best in the NBA, right? They're the most athletic team in the NBA. They're the fastest, strongest. So there's that. But the thing I'm not buying them all the way yet is kind of because maybe their top end talent just isn't there yet. Ken, Jaws on that Steph program right now, where it's like, yeah, you and I, everybody here thinks Steph is going to be back game one, but we don't know for sure. John Morant, we don't know for sure. Right? He had a knee issue. Like, we don't know if he's going to be back for game one either. And if he's not going to be back for game one, I don't think they beat the Wolves, right? So it's like, same with the Warriors. Steph's not back, they're not going to win. So it's like, that's a true, true question mark. I just think the Suns are a different level where, yes, the Suns are winning round one. They are winning in five. They are winning round one, and they're going to look great. So I think there's just more of a certainty there with the Suns.
Yeah, by the way, shout out to Kemp Bazemore.
Oh, yeah.
Talk, that was good. I'll give him that.
I always feel a little weird with Bazemore because that's Steph's best friend. And it's always a little odd. It's always a little – Steph doesn't say much about him. And it's always like, I don't know if – last season was a tough one for Bazemore. I don't feel like he has many fans amongst the Warriors fandom. And it's always a little – I don't know.
I'll say this, though. Bazemore played well for the Warriors, and they got a lot out of him. And then he goes to another team, and he's immediately benched. Kind of speaks to the Warriors being able to get more out of him, maybe, than another team.
Well, you even look at the two teams specifically. I mean, you look at the Warriors last season, and they played well. Bazemore played well, and they made the play-in game. And you look at Bazemore this season, you're telling me, like you said, instantly that he's not able to play. And then the Lakers, even when they're losing, he's not playing, and the Lakers end up 20 games under 500. I think that speaks a lot to Steph Curry and Draymond, right? For just kind of maximum and Steve for maximizing Bazemore is.
Shout out, Steve. All right. Let's get to Noah. Noah, what's up, man?
All right, so one sort of statement, one question. I do think they go small. I think him benching Looney was why, like him hinting at that. And I kind of like how Andrew's been willing to take like 10 shots. He hasn't been putting up – he's been watching Jordan shoot, right? And I think that fits when you have Steph, Clay, and Jordan on the floor. And then question, how good can Jordan be? Like I sit here and I watch him. Like, is this dude a multiple-time All-Star? Is that – what he's going to turn into?
Ooh, I love that question. I mean, I don't want – look, I remember doing a podcast with Andy during the preseason of Jordan Poole's rookie year, and I'm like, I see some CJ McCollum here. And Andy –
You were the first. You were the first.
And Andy's like, you know, just relax. And then he hit the floor, and, you got to take your victory lap. But now I'm wondering if I was selling him short a little bit, because it's like, it's hard to even, I don't know what kind of ceiling to put on him. Like what I see is a guy who can pass, dribble, and shoot at an extremely high level from the guard position. And honestly, if you can do those three things, like you can continue growing. Like, How is he not in the conversation to be challenging like Bradley Beal in 5 years?
Can I throw out four names to you?
Throw out four names.
Four names. Number one, CJ. You already threw that out there. Number two, Donovan Mitchell. Number three, Jamal Murray, and number four, Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
Which one do you think is the in your opinion? Which one do you think is the closest Jordan Poole gets to? Or is he better than all of them? Is he actually Steph Curry? Is he better than all of them?
I think the Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell tier is legitimately a conversation.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's a max player.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I think that's who he can get to. I don't want to put a box on him at this point. That's like that. My big thing is I don't want to put a ceiling on who he can be at this point.
Yeah. Wow. That's all you need to know. Is that we're naming I'm naming those names, and it's not outlandish. That's really it's incredible. The thing I noticed about Poole, so we get to the next guy or gal, is that he's incredible shooting off ball now. I always felt like the last season that he struggled shooting off ball because he was always an on the ball, off the dribble kind of shooter. But watching the way that he's improved off ball to kind of become like Stephen Clay, he is a marksman coming off those split cuts. It's not easy. It's not easy the way he's making those shots.
No, it's not.
Like James Harden can't make those, right? Like he doesn't even try those because it's a really hard shot.
James Harden moving off ball. It's a funny thought.
I'm just saying.
I mean, my big Poole take is I don't want to put a box on who he can be at this point. I think he is an incredibly talented player. And he just keeps like whoever I compare him to, he's gonna come out next game and I'd be like, Did I undersell him? You know? So We'll leave it there. We'll be back over the weekend. Ending the season, and we're almost at the playoffs, Andy. We're almost at the playoffs.
Look at the joy. This is, you know what this is, Em, as we get out here? It's joy in buckets. Joy in buckets. All right, man. Thanks, everyone.
Appreciate you guys.